Come, Holy Spirit, and touch my lips. Come, Holy Spirit, and illuminate our minds. Come, Holy Spirit, and set our hearts on fire with love for you. Amen. I wonder if any of you have seen a programme on BBC One called Life and Birth. It follows the story of mothers and fathers as they bring new life into the world and films beautifully the birth of each child. It is exquisitely made and shows the amazing dedication of the midwives and doctors, as well as the variety of births. Birth is a dangerous activity, and we are very lucky in this country to have a state-of-the-art NHS to care for families at this exciting time in their lives. It doesn't always go to plan, though, and there are many countries around the world that still lack even the basic facilities to make sure mother and baby survive and flourish. I realised it was going to be addictive watching when I couldn't even get through the opening titles without crying. Perhaps it is because I've been through childbirth myself twice, but I always cry at the birth of a baby, even in Call the Midwife. I've often thought that I would have liked to train to be a midwife, but if I was going to cry at each birth, I would have been pretty useless. The tears come unprompted as each little person makes their entrance into the world. The miracle of new life is never lost on me, and the miraculous journey of development and now birth into the world, where the baby takes its first breath without the mother, separated as the cord is cut, but nevertheless always linked. Recently, I've personally been reminded of this miracle during lockdown as my grandson, Zephaniah, was born. He's 6 weeks old now, and from the photos, he is just adorable. His name means bringer of hope. And what better name could be given to him at this time in the history of our world? The bringer of hope comes to the disciples in our readings today, and the breath of God gives them rebirth. Famously, Jesus had spoken with a Pharisee named Nicodemus earlier in John's Gospel and told him that to enter the kingdom of heaven, he had to be born of the Spirit. Nicodemus takes him literally and gets very confused about the need to re-enter your mother's womb to be born again. But this is not what Jesus means. Today, the birthday of the church, Pentecost, is the day the disciples realise that Jesus meant by being born of the Spirit. The breath of God which had hovered over the waters at the birth of creation, that had called Jesus forth from the tomb and into life again, that was breathed on them in the upper room by Jesus himself, now comes as a rushing wind and tongues of fire to surround them and drive them out from the place they are hiding in fear to the crowds outside. To crowds who had no idea what they had been doing in the upstairs room. To crowds who had no idea how to pray and had probably totally forgotten the events 50 days ago where they cried out for the blood of an innocent man and watched as he was nailed to the cross. To crowds who really don't think this Jesus, this Spirit, has anything to do with them or their lives. Maybe as we sit here on this Pentecost day, the church is in exactly the same situation. The Holy Spirit is driving us out to crowds who have no idea what we have been doing inside our buildings all this time. To crowds who have no idea how to pray, or probably have forgotten. To crowds who really don't think that Jesus or the Spirit has anything to do with them or their lives. Are we being driven out of our buildings like the disciples were being driven out of their locked room? Pentecost is not a new festival. It didn't just come about on that day. But as with everything God does, what they thought they knew was being shaken and given a new identity. It is, I think, the same for us. We are being shaken and given a new identity. Jews have been celebrating Pentecost for a very long time. First, it was an agricultural festival to celebrate the harvest of the year and to give thanks for God's blessing. Over the years, though, it became more of a celebration of God's gift of the law to the people, the commandments, the way in which they should live their life. That moment when Moses comes down the mountain with his face shining as God yet again does something new. Each year, thousands of Jews from all over the region return to Jerusalem to celebrate their religious heritage, to dance, to sing, to reminisce, to gather together for worship in the temple. So it wasn't all that surprising that there were so many people around that day, so many excited people, so many people eager to rejoice and party. What they hadn't counted on was the breath of God that would come sweeping through the room and then out into the crowds. The breath of God that would take the old and transform it into something new. This was no longer a celebration of the law being given to a select group of people. It was instead a celebration of the gift of grace being given to all people from all nations. It was a celebration of individual transformation, fear dropped, eloquent words from the mouth of a humble fisherman, repentance on a large scale, and a celebration of corporate transformation. Everyone in the world given the same Holy Spirit as Jesus had breathed upon the disciples in the upper room. The same Holy Spirit that is given to each of us at our birth as we take our first breath. The same Holy Spirit that enables us to be constantly linked back to God, even though we might think we are separate. The whole of creation had been transformed on this day. The Holy Spirit was calling to her own creation, calling it home, giving it power and strength to bring the kingdom of heaven to fruition. This was the advocate promised by Jesus, the counsellor, the helper, the one that meant we would not be left as orphans. This is wisdom that leads us to beauty, to divine beauty. And it is this advocate who comes as Jesus promised that reminds us that the promise of Jesus to return one day is just as true. One of the easy things to see from this reading is that Peter is given the gifts of speech and leadership. Those listening are given the gift of interpretation. Everyone hears in their own language, their own way. Peter was an uneducated fisherman speaking to a crowd composed of every race and nation in the world. It was the day Peter became the person God intended him to be. And so some questions for us as we sit here on Pentecost Day 2020. I wonder if we are the people God intended us to be. I wonder if we are open to the working of the Holy Spirit, that we might each day become more of the person God intended us to be. I wonder if we are still waiting for that Holy Spirit moment in our lives. I wonder if it has already happened once, twice, many times, but we were too busy looking elsewhere to recognise it. I wonder if we haven't quite tuned into the voice of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if we even know how to listen for it at all. Sometimes the clamour of the rest of life drowns out the ability to work out how we listen for God, and then the fear creeps in when we realise that if we really did tune in, we might not hear something that we wanted to hear. And so we stop tuning in. I wonder if we have got too complacent about the Holy Spirit and just allow it to rest within us rather than to be active within us. That doesn't mean to say that resting with it isn't a good thing. It is. And it doesn't mean to say that we have to do things. We don't. We just have to recognise the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us and work with the Holy Spirit. For some of us, the gift will be of prayer and silence. For some of us, it will be more active. And for some of us, it will be somewhere in the middle. I wonder if we can possibly help other people to hear what she is speaking and therefore creating if we ourselves have forgotten to listen to the Holy Spirit. I wonder what God is taking now and transforming into something new in our individual lives, our church life, our life as communities and nations. Surely, as the disciples found out, we can't just go back to what was before. Some people will do for sure, as the crowds did in Jerusalem that day. Others, however, will be hungry for more of the Holy Spirit, more of transformation, and more of a journey to finding out who God intended them to be. At the moment, we are seeing desperate scenes in America as people clamour for others to recognise the sanctity of life. All lives are sacred because all lives have the breath of God within them. The thirst for justice on behalf of those who now have no breath is an act of the Holy Spirit. The thirst for justice for those who have no home, no food, no water, no access to medical care, no right to education, no right to asylum, no right to appeal unjust decisions made in trumped-up courts, no access to technology that could make their lives easier, no way of growing crops as the weather systems change, no way of continuing to live on their land as the sea levels rise. The thirst for justice for all of these are acts of the Holy Spirit. It is what Peter and the other disciples, hundreds and thousands of them, worked out too. It was the feeding of everyone, the taking into their community of those who would ordinarily have been left to fend for themselves, that marked them out in the years to come as the Church of Christ. Eventually, three centuries later, coming to be known as Christians, followers of Christ. They could only do all of these things because they trusted when Jesus told them to wait. They responded when the Spirit came, and then through prayer and fellowship together, they began to realise what the Holy Spirit was asking of them. It was only then, and only in the strength of the Spirit, that they could go forward. Many of them died as they proclaimed the kingdom of heaven and cried out for justice for those excluded. Being a follower of Christ was never easy, and still is not easy. The same questions are there for us today as disciples on the 31st of May 2020 in a very similar but different scenario. Are we trusting God enough? Are we willing to wait? Are we ready to respond to the word we hear? Are we being faithful in prayer and conversation, even if we can't be together? To even begin to work out what God, through the gift of his Holy Spirit, might be doing now. For sure, it is new. The Holy Spirit is always moving. We just need to catch a breath of her before we can join in with the adventure. I want to finish with a blessing from Brother David Steindl-Rust. Source of all blessings, you bless us with breath, in and out, ever renewing us, ever anew, making us one with all who breathe the same air. May this blessing overflow into a shared gratefulness, so that with one breath we may praise and celebrate life. Amen.